Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Just before the tape, I was identified by the Rand Paul campaign. Because
people like this are adding to the problem that we have today.
He didn't move during the procedure that I could see.
A young man by the name of Kyle came into my office.
He's going to hell, this bitch.
That's kind of annoying.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Later on, we're going to have that Marie Claire blogger. At least we'll be discussing that Marie Claire blogger. What do you think of her, Sean?
She's going to hell, this bitch.
Yeah, she talked about all those fat people, so we'll be talking about that. And we're also going to have, we have with us Justin McElroy, who's a 17-year-old student. He's a high school student from L.A. Canyon High School. He'll be discussing being bullied, being gay, and being bullied. And that's going to be coming up later on in our program. We also have, well, with the help of the ACLU, there are some sex offenders in Missouri now who are going to participate in Halloween activities. I don't say that to denigrate the ACLU, but that, you know, at least that's the way it was presented to me. Larry Grover and Justin McElroy on our program tonight. Our affiliate spotlight, San Francisco, KNEW 910 AM. Youngstown, Ohio, WKBN 570 AM. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. We've got a brand new Classic Phil podcast, probably the greatest single call in the history of radio. I think I can safely say, just for humor, for relevance, for topicality, for just everything, we have it from our show in the year 2000. It's a Classic Phil podcast. It is a free download on our website right now. So go check it out. And we have an uncensored Phil show, Phil pre-show rant on the mortgage modification fraud is what we're calling it, because that's exactly what it is. PhilHendryShow.com. Check it out. Get a backstage pass. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Phil, we're going to be bringing on the program right now Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, who is involved in a assembly race here in the state of California. There's so many races that are going on throughout the country, and this is for the State Assembly of California. And really, and Larry, welcome to the program.
My pleasure, Phil. Thanks for having us back.
Always a pleasure, Larry. You are a Republican, registered Republican, and conservative, and a Tea Party advocate, correct?
Well, like to say I'm a Tea Party advocate, because these days that's such a lightning rod term, and I say not because I wouldn't be proud to be an advocate of Tea Party policies, but it often redounds negatively to the Tea Party when individuals say that I'm a Tea Party advocate, because who knows, Larry Grover may wind up saying something during the course of the final days of this campaign that may not be 100% representative of the Tea Party, and I certainly don't want it to reflect badly on them. So let me say that I'm an admirer.
And economically,
I think we're pretty square. Economically, I think we're pretty square when it comes to myself, my views, and those of the Tea Party, which is at lower taxation, far more representation involved when it comes to voting on new taxes, getting this enormous destructive debt paid down as quickly as we can, and getting America back to work. If that's the Tea Party that you speak of, then I am 100% in favor of it.
Now, your opponent in the race is who? Warner Nolan, right?
Warner Nolan, he's a Democrat. He is a good man. And when I say he's a good man, I say that from the standpoint, from a human standpoint. I think that his democratic liberal principles have been a part of what's led this country to ruin, and I don't have any problem in saying that. I don't denigrate Warner, and I have to tell you, Phil, and I appreciate very much for Mr. Nolan. It's been a pretty clean campaign so far.
That was my understanding, and you know, you both of you guys are to be congratulated on that, because so much of the liberal versus conservative is replete with the mudslinging, the ideologies being so entrenched, and both of them almost self-righteously so, you know.
Well, I think there's much to be. I think there's much in what you say that's true. I think we've gotten a little high on the horse. I think both sides have gotten a little high and mighty with the rhetoric, and I think it's a terrible thing to think of anybody. To try to paint your opponent as non-patriotic or somebody that doesn't love their country simply because they don't share your political philosophy for the future of the country doesn't mean that they don't want the best thing. So, and he's a formidable candidate.
I see that, at least in the polling, you guys are pretty even.
That is correct. I think we stand somewhere around 46-46, and there's a few undecided going into next week, so it's going to be interesting. We had only a couple of things this week that we were going to address, and it's something that I don't know whether you want me to bring it up now or after the break.
No, we'll let me give my phone number out to my listeners, and we'll talk a little bit more with you about the Republican Party agenda and the race that you're involved in for assembly in the state of California against Warner Nolan. We're talking with Larry Grover, one of the founding members of Conservatives of Kern County, one of the early conservative groups in the country, built up on the Ronald Reagan model, Larry, right?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Ronald Reagan was the inspiration for conservatives of Kern County. And we have never strayed far from, I suppose, if we had a wristband that said, what would Reagan do? I suppose you could say that would be our... not a bad way of saying how we do things.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover on the line. And so going into the election next week, what are the issues that you will be focusing on? What do you anticipate, Mr. Nolan, to sort of rejoin with?
Well, we are aware of Warner Nolan and his liberal policies and philosophies. He is a father and a husband. I believe he's got four children, three daughters and a son. And we understand that he is far removed from the conservative view of life. That having been said, I don't necessarily think that makes him a bad father. What was disturbing, I suppose, Phil, were the reports that we got this morning. And we got those reports this morning primarily from Mr. Nolan's camp, that he had spent the evening last night in the company of his children, in the company of his wife, who I think might have been there early but then left. And this is the part that I found disturbing. His wife was there for only a few minutes and left the house. And my understanding even more is that she went to some kind of a function involving other women.
Okay.
And he was...
I didn't see anything in the news about this.
Well, let me explain. He was at home with his four children and was allowing them to view something which we find very disturbing. I did bounce this off a few of the principals in our Kern County group and some other people here in our campaign, and we felt that we needed to at least... open the window on this and let the voters decide.
Well, tell me what this was. So he's at home.
He was at home and he was allowing his children to view something on television, which was startling. When I heard this, I asked them to double check. I didn't know if they were being honest with me. And it was this program last night on the Fox network that had this Rocky Horror Picture Show. And what is involved in this, Mr. Hendry, are dancers and singers. And I want to get my notes. Who are dancing in garter belts. They are dancing in stockings and gloves. These are male members of the cast. Tight gold shorts being worn by men. Women wearing very brief usher or usherette uniforms in lingerie, men wearing corsets. One of the characters is a woman and a man wearing a garter belt with black stockings. This was going on television, and this is for an adult audience. I don't know what they're thinking with it. I know you know.
Well, if you're talking about the Rocky Horror Picture Show that I know, which goes back many, many years to the mid-1970s. This was a favorite, it was a favorite entertainment of young people at that time to dress up in character.
Well, first of all, Glee is a TV show. They did a cover of the Rocky Horror Picture Show last night. Now, we already know that Glee is a show that sexualizes teenage boys and girls. My opponent then sits down with his children and watches a disturbing program of this, the Glee, which is now showing people cross-dressing, homosexuals, and so forth. I am not in any way, shape, or form criticizing...
Wait, Larry. Okay, this was Glee. Now, Glee is a show on the Fox TV network. It's very popular. How old are his kids?
Well, his children are middle schoolers, the teenagers, but they're underage. They're underage children. Now, this is my opponent in one of the most important assembly races in the state of California we've ever had, who sat down last night with his children and watched this program, Glee, which has... I made the joke the other day. I'll bet you, they're very glee. They have a lot of glee. They're gleeful about sexualizing kids. That's what their glee is about. The Rocky Horror Show that you mentioned has clear transsexual and transvestite characters. And Warner Nolan, my opponent in this race, is sitting down with his children and watching this show. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're talking about something. I don't want to debate this.
Well, I'm not debating it either. I mean, I know how I feel, and I feel very strongly, and I'm making this point to the people of California and to the people in your program. I mean, if the people don't care that Warner Nolan sits with his underage children and watches some show that celebrates transvestite and transsexual sex, then fine. I guess that's the way that this... state's going. I hope not.
All right, I'm going to interrupt you here for a minute, Larry. The Rocky Horror Picture Show, you would agree, because you're a little younger than me, but the Rocky Horror Picture Show was a major cultural event of youth culture in the 70s.
I understand all of that. I understand, and it was a midnight show as well. All right, but the fact is, it was still a movie that attracted homosexuals, transsexuals, transvestites, who dressed up...
Well, people got into costume to go see it. Whether the fans of the film were homosexuals and transsexuals, I can't make that comment. I know a lot of people who were straight went with their girlfriends, and they went to see this. And it has been, ever since the 70s, it has been an annual or a nightly or however often this is shown.
Well, in New York, it was very big, but there is the high concentration of homosexuals in New York. The concentration level is particularly high in Miami. And you have a thick, very thick and deep, thickening concentration of homosexuals in San Francisco and Los Angeles.
And all right, that may well be, but the fact is, it was a show that it has long-standing tradition in American culture, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. If you want to say it celebrates some sort of avant-garde or alternative kind of personality, I suppose we can say that. Now you have Glee. And the show last night was really a show about asking, should we present this? Should we do this show?
Well, but they did do the show because they're showing it on the TV network. Now, I don't want to make a big thing out of it, but if my opponent, Warner Nolan, wants to show his children transsexual and transvestite sex a week before we have an election in this state, you know... You're implying, Phil, that...
Well, let me tell you what you're implying, Larry, that if an adult watches the Rocky Horror Picture Show or Glee's version of it, they're a degenerate?
If they share it with a child, if they sat down with children and watched that, and I would say even if they watched it alone, and I don't know, you know...
Well, if I were to sit down and watch it...
Well, you're in the media. You have to watch these things.
All right, any adult sits down and watches the Rocky Horror Show or Glee's version of it, is a degenerate.
They can do anything they want. When they sit down with a child, as my opponent did, and you've got these guys in garter belts, you have homosexual and transsexual behavior, I've got to say something about it. I'm going up against this guy in an election in a week. I've got to say something about it.
Larry Grover with us, 877-876-PHIL, as he talks about Glee's presentation of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Glee's presentation of the storyline, and the fact that his opponent in next week's assembly election, Warner Nolan, was watching this with his kids. Mr. Grover says that that was irresponsible, that it is a degenerate presentation showing transsexuals, transvestites, and degenerate personalities. And to sit down and watch it with his children was irresponsible. I'd like to get back into Bud, tell him that I want to talk to him. What is he? I want Larry to spell out what he thinks it says about Warner Nolan's opponent. 877-876-PHIL, if you have some thoughts on this, if you watch this with your kids, if not, why not? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to our program. Larry Grover, we have callers to get to, Larry, as we discuss a week before our elections here and in all over North America, north of the border in Canada, as a matter of fact, election time is rolling around. Your assembly race in the state of California, an important one. Now, your opponent, Warner Nolan, who is a liberal Democrat, a progressive, you and he differ philosophically. You're mentioning the fact that he was watching this Rocky Horror Picture Show with his kids last night brings up something not having to do with his political philosophy, but the nature of the man.
Well, it does, Phil, and I didn't know there was no way to soft pedal this, but you have to understand this is a man who's already been reported to be listening to this. There's a boy who is Justin Bieber. He's a boy. He's a 15-year-old boy. And this, Mr. Nolan, has spent an inordinate amount of time listening to this boy's music with his underage children. He spends a lot of time with them. I don't want to say what I think is in the minds of a lot of your listeners right now. I think there is something to investigate.
And are you saying the man is a pedophile?
I don't want to be the one to say that. I will present the evidence to you.
1 week before the election, it's a very explosive charge, sir.
I'm not saying that the man has committed a crime per se. I am saying that he spends an inordinate amount of time with his underage children.
877-876-PHIL. Let's take some phone calls here on the line in Toronto, Canada. Is Christine? Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Christine.
I think it's clear that you're very homophobic.
No,
we live in a world today where homosexuals, transvestites, and transsexuals are a part of our society, like it or not.
Well, do they dance in front of children? Do we hire them to come dance at our schools? I don't think so. We don't hire them to come.
You say that it's wrong for this man to have his middle-aged children watch this TV show. How do you know what
middle-aged? They're not middle-aged children. They're not middle-aged children, ma'am. They're not 50 years old.
But
the lady misspoke.
What conversation he had with his children before or after this show aired? What is your issue with homosexuals?
My issue is not so much with them as with a man sitting down and enjoying himself watching transvestites.
You're exposing
underage
his children to what is relevant in society, to showing his children
really?
What they already know?
Well, I think it might be also relevant to watch someone spanking someone with a leather car aerial. Is that also relevant, or is that something not appropriate for children's eyes? So, my opponent in this
campaign. But the Fox Network felt that this was appropriate for children's eyes. Who are you to say how this man raises his children or what
well,
he says
forgive
to his
me,
children before
I don't
this
let,
show?
I don't let the Fox Network dictate to me, ma'am. Well, the problem is you let the Fox Network tell you how to live. I don't. I allow myself to tell me how to live. And I
allow
hope
myself
Warner
to
Nolan,
tell me how to live as well. And I've
no, you said the Fox Network was
show when I was 9 years old, the original one. And I'm a well-adjusted person. And let me tell you, when I was 9 years old, I was well aware of the fact that there are
we don't know
in the world.
We certainly don't know whether
you're
well-adjusted. I'll take your word for it.
So
but I will say this: when you're a 9-year-old girl, were you wearing a garter belt at the age of 9? Yes
no,
or no?
Were any of the
were
people
wearing
on Glee 9 years old wearing the garter belt? Did this man have his children in garter belts?
I find it shocking that you were allowed to go see the people dancing in a, you know, with their underwear hanging
television.
Out when you're nine. When you're nine?
I think that your issue
well,
is...
Well, Rocky Horror Picture Show is... Rocky Horror Picture Show, as I said, is a cultural icon in our society, you know.
Well, this child, this woman says she was nine watching people running around with their... the garters.
It came
That's
on TV
real weird.
8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, well, sure. Does that mean it's okay? No. Now, I know you're in Canada, and I would love to sit down with the Canadian television people and ask them just exactly what they think they're trying to pull, showing children that.
All right, Christine, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Back with Larry Grover as he talks about his assembly race with Warner Nolan.
Phil Hendry.
I don't know what they're trying to pull in Canada, but...
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
My guest tonight as we lead up to the elections is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. He's a Republican candidate for the Assembly in the state of California. He's going against his Democratic opponent, Warner Nolan. Conservative versus liberal, perhaps the economic philosophy of President Obama versus the economic philosophies of the Tea Party. You know, it's fair enough to say. Larry, you are talking about the personal life, the personal issues of your opponent, Mr. Nolan, the fact that he sat down and watched Glee and the Rocky Horror episode with his children, the fact that he listens to Justin Bieber music.
Well, Mr. Hendry, if you want me to talk about substantive issues about my opponent, The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody is another one of these programs that, and Smallville, along with Bieber, that focuses in very clearly and very distinctly on young people and the kind of bait that a Warner Nolan, were he a pedophile, take. Now, you know, here...
Why can't this just be...
What kind of person, Mr. Hendry, watches Justin Bieber, a 15-year-old, a cute boy, quote-unquote, with his kids?
The kind of man that might want to sit down with his and spend time with his children.
Well, you know, and that's your spin, okay? That's how you spin it. But let me posit something else. The wife leaves, she goes off, and she does things. There's a man that's not spending quality time with a wife. This is a man that's sitting down and watching people in garter belts with his children. Then you throw in the sweet Zach and Cody. And
the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody?
That's correct. And
well, again, these are children shows that you watch with children.
Mr. Hendry, let me ask you something. And you said to me during the break that you watched Phineas and Ferb.
When I was in the hospital. I was very sick, yeah.
And that means what? You're watching Phineas and Ferb, and you're telling me that I'm off. And
I was very sick, the only thing to watch on TV.
And you mentioned Hannah Montana. That's the point I wanted to make. So you're watching an underage girl.
Are you going to tell me that I've got some problem? You're going to tell me that I have a sexual problem?
What I'm telling you is, I don't think you're in a position to judge what I think Nolan's doing over there in his home, in a lakeside home, a very expensive home, while I'm sleeping in the home of my mother on a cot on a service porch.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here is Sophia in San Antonio, listening on KRPT. Sophia, how are you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the comment that he's over here suggesting that his opponent is a pedophile, that he shouldn't be spending time with his children, shouldn't spend time with his wife. I personally believe that he's doing...
Oh,
in my eyes, he's a... Hold on, I'm talking here. I say that in my eyes, he is being a great dad. Because, I mean, how many days now, you know, nowadays you see parents spending time with their children? Sure, it's Justin Bieber
right now.
Back then, in my days, it was Backstreet Boys. Before that, it was New Kids on the Block. I mean, you mean to tell me, and I'm pretty sure you cannot say that you don't know who Hannah Montana is and Justin Bieber and all that, because obviously you do. And you know who Zach and Cody is. So I'm pretty sure you do that show as well.
Why is a grown man, you said that he should be spending time with his wife. He's not. He's sitting on a couch watching
Are you telling me you've never seen any show or music video or listened to, been to a concert with any of your children? Or grandchildren?
What I do with my children is I break out the Lego blocks. We watch a wildlife program. We will watch many of the science shows. They watch the program. Certainly, we want our children to watch. But I don't have them sit with me while my wife is not anywhere near the house. She could be hundreds of miles away, and they don't sit on my knee as we watch a man in a garter belt. No, I don't do that. No. What's that? Yes,
in order for you to know some of this stuff, you have to have seen it. I mean,
as an adult.
What they were doing here, but, you know, how they were dressed.
Well, I don't know what you're...
How do you know about Rocky Horror Picture Show?
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, you're talking about garter belts. You're talking about...
I did research on an internet, and I looked at pictures.
So you'd rather spend time searching things on the internet than spending time with your children? I mean, sure, no, it's not the Lego game, Candyland, it's all fun and games as well, but, I mean, I'm pretty sure you're just also listening to, you know, Justin Bieber.
They
might not be Justin Bieber, but I'm pretty sure they watch the Twilight series.
Can I ask you a question, Miss, I'm going to make an assumption that you're Hispanic. How do you feel about an artist named Justin Bieber? I think it's about as offensive as
You're
to the Hispanic community.
Hispanic is because of my accent, or
I think your accent and the city you're calling from.
I live in Texas.
Not just Texas, but San Antonio, Texas, which is a very beautiful city and has a great many wonderful Hispanic Americans. But to call yourself Justin Bieber to get the Hispanic support, to me,
what do you mean Bieber? It's Bieber.
You know something, Mr. Henry, you have spent this entire program cutting me off every time I'm trying to make a point. Ma'am, you're from San Antonio, so you're not Chinese. I think we can... You're not Chinese, right?
No.
Chinese? No, I don't think so.
All right, so she's from San Antonio. She may be Hispanic. It doesn't matter, Sophia. The fact that you said that Justin Bieber, you are completely... out to lunch. So I have to ask myself this question. How aware are you? Okay.
Ma'am, I will tell you this much. My opponent rented The Karate Kid, the movie with Will Smith's underage son. Why wouldn't he rent a movie with a character who isn't a young, well-built boy? Yeah.
All right, Sophia, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. That's a young woman that's trying to make sense of a lot of your questions.
That is to say, my questions are nonsensical. But
why are we not talking in this campaign, Larry, about the issues such as the economics? I think people are so weary.
I am weary of the personality issues as well, Mr. Henry. I am very weary of them. I wish I didn't have to bring this up. I wish to God, and I'm saying this as sincerely as I can, I wish to Almighty God my staff member hadn't walked in here this morning and said that Nolan was watching guys in garter belts last night with his children. I wish to God he hadn't said that. But once he did, I had to go to the public with it.
But what about the other issues, the taxation issues that are so important? These things that we have that we're struggling with, how we pull ourselves out of 10% unemployment in the state of California, 9.5% across the country. How do we pull our businesses back up?
Well, you know what? I have to hold on to what you're asking me questions. I want to know about that, too. This is something I can beat him with. If you're talking about me going toe-to-toe with him on how to make a tax or how to... I'm not that well-versed on it, but this I know.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call in Whittier, California, listening on KTLK. Jeff, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover.
Yeah. Hi.
Yes, sir.
I think this guy he doesn't even know what he's talking about. I watched that episode of Glee last night, and there was none of that stuff on there. The whole point of that episode was about children responsibly viewing something like that. And, they went through a whole big thing about why they weren't going to do this and that, and at the end they decided not to put on the show.
Right.
Well, I understand that, but you know that Rocky Horror has a guy named Frankenfurter who wears a garter belt. You know that?
Yes, but they didn't have that on the episode last night.
And you know, and you've also been talking about that they have a character that wears panties that's a man wearing panties. You know that?
Yes, but they didn't have that. They didn't have any cross-dressing on the episode. They didn't have any garter belt.
And you know that another guy wears stockings?
But are you hearing what the gentleman's saying, Larry?
I understand what he's saying. But what Mr. Nolan did last night is exposed his children, gave them a taste of what the, if you will, the transvestite nectar, and they're going to want to go and get the whole can. And this is how it starts.
Well, you don't watch any of the shows you've been talking about. None of those things happen on those shows. I've watched Phineas and Ferb is like one of the most innocent cartoons I've ever seen.
I understand that, I don't doubt that. But why is a man, a grown man, hanging around with kids all the time watching that stuff? Lay it on the floor and opening up the Halloween candy. You know what I'm talking about.
I told you it's a father spending time with his children.
That's one spin. That's one way to spin it. But there's a man named Bill O'Reilly who says there's a no-spin factor. Okay? Have you heard about the factor? Where he doesn't spin it?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to stop the spin. And I'd like to put to you, my Democratic opponent is fooling around with Hannah Montana and Justin Bieber. And why? Because he prefers the company of children to adults. And why is that? Because I believe sexually and intellectually he's underdeveloped. Your comment, sir.
You talking to me?
No, I'm talking to your to the man.
None of that doesn't have anything to do with the big issues that we're talking about in the campaign.
Exactly.
We're talking about
in the campaign.
The state budgets and
we're talking about being able to afford things, Larry. You know,
I understand that, but Warner Nolan is an accountant and he knows how to talk about taxes. I don't. I don't get it as well as he does. So if someone says, for instance, a bond, and the gentleman I'm talking to is named Jeff, right? Is your name Jeff, sir?
Yes, yes.
All right. Do you know what a bond issue is?
Sure.
I don't. And if someone brings that up in a debate, I can't get the words to come out of my mouth the way I want to, so I have to go...
So you're
there's something that I know.
All you want to do is distract with all this other BS.
No, I don't. No, sir. No, I don't want to distract.
Well, do you care about the economic issues?
I do, very much.
But you don't want to talk about those.
Because I don't know the difference. I got to get more up to speed on what is a bond issue, what's an assessment, you know? In the meantime, I got to beat this.
Don't ask me. I didn't call you to give you a civics lesson. You're the one that's running for office.
Yes, sir. But does your gaydar go off when you hear an adult male listening to Justin Bieber, yes or no? Yeah, see?
No.
All right, you know, Larry, no, I don't think so. Thank you, sir, for your call. 877-876-FOOT. We have to take a break. You said something that I think is shocking. That you don't have a grasp of these issues, and so you need to talk about something you do understand to distract people.
I did not use the word distract. I did not use the word distract. I did not use the word distract.
No, you didn't use the word distract, but that's what you're doing. So you can get elected and get into office not knowing what a bond issue is or an assessment.
I can learn. In the meantime, I've got to beat this guy with the only weapons I've got. And that is the fact that this guy listens to Beaner or to Bieber and he watches the what's that other one that I mentioned? The Sweet Life of the Couple of Sweet Boys or something. Boy, they've really got a pair on them at Disney, don't they?
All right, 877-876-PHIL with Larry Grover. The election coming up, and Larry needs to defeat Warner Nolan, his Democratic opponent. Does Larry know anything about the issues? No, but he does know that Mr. Nolan watches kids' shows with his kids. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, I'll bet they're, yeah, I'll bet they're sweet. Zach and Gary are cool.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll.
All right, in this clip, there are men in underwear.
Not for very much longer.
I understand. This is from Glee, and this was the television episode of Glee, which they were attempting to do the Rocky Horror Picture Show. This is a pretty famous song from... Do the Time Warp's very famous song from the movie.
Well, it, you know, Phil, it may be very famous from the movie, as you put it, but I am, again, I'm a father, and I have four daughters. And let me just say that I have four daughters. I don't have four sons. I have four daughters. And that means that my life is tied up in my daughters and I got distracted. I don't know what happened.
Are you all right?
I got a little bit of a pain. I'm sorry, Phil.
Are you okay, Larry?
Well, it's been very stressful. I'm all right.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's just been a very stressful campaign. I'm fighting, Phil, against the flood tide of a new kind of liberalism that wants to put men in women's underwear right in your daughter's bedroom. And I won't have it.
I don't think it's that bad.
No, you don't think it's that bad. Yes, it is that bad.
But you're saying your opponent, a man who spends time with his children, is one of the harbingers of that, and I think that that's an unfair accusation. 877-876-PHIL. Jim in Boston. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover.
Hello. I have three
yes,
children,
sir.
A boy and two girls. They're young adults now, and they're very liberal. You know, Massachusetts is a liberal state. But, Larry, you know, it sounds to me like you have some real coping issues. You don't know the issues. You don't know what a bond issue is. You don't know about taxes.
Do you?
Why are
well,
you running
you?
For office?
Do you know what a bond issue is?
Why are you running for office?
Right.
What do you intend
since
to
you
do?
Since you don't know what a bond issue is, I think I fairly well represent the average American who's been left behind in terms of the how... economics is done and how they talk about it. When I get into office, I'm going to explain it to people in very plain language and not use a lot of big words. Okay?
What is it that you want
to I don't know what you mean. Your kids are liberal, so what is that? What am I supposed to... What does that mean? Did you watch a lot of Rocky Horror with them or something?
Well, everything that you're
anything.
Saying about this
you know,
guy...
Why did you say your kids are very liberal? What's that got to do with anything? I'm not talking about your kids. I am talking about kids that are at risk.
Well, what you're talking about is modern-day society. It's like
modern-day society where men walk around in women's garter belts. Is that what... Really? I don't think so, sir.
That's just fashion. That's not people beating people over the head or hurting other individuals.
What fashion? You know guys that dress in women's stockings?
What
fashion?
That?
That's fashion that you're saying is that's fashion that's at a gay bar. That's not in the local schools.
So what's wrong with being
well,
gay?
Well, I mean, so in other words, there's the philosophy of the social versus the economic. And that's the problem that we're talking about here. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to, where were we? With Steve? Steve, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good.
I got a question for Mr. Grover. And basically what the last caller said. The gentleman wants to run for office in one of the most economically damaged states of the Union. And he has no way or no clue of any of the issues. So basically your campaign,
me, Mr.
Grover.
You're talking about me?
Mr. Grover, let me finish my and finish and ask my question.
All right. I thought you were talking about Warner Nolan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nolan.
Basically, my name is Jerry Grover. You're talking about me?
Yes, he's talking about you. You don't know the issues. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. Basically, your campaign is based on just any mudslinging that you can get away with to win your office.
Right now. But when I get into office, you watch. I will get up to speed on all the issues. But right now, I don't know how to talk about a lot of this stuff as good as he does. So
let me interrupt you for a second and ask this question. Okay?
All right.
You have a nuclear device. It's armed, and it's ready to go off in the next 24 hours. I'm the only individual in the neighborhood that you can get to disarm it, but I have no clue how to do it.
Uh-huh.
But I'll learn how to do it when I'm there.
What do you mean? Well, why would I ask you? You don't know how to do it. You don't know how to do it. Why would I ask you? You don't know how to do it. I'd go get somebody else.
You're saying that you don't know how to run the office.
Well, you're the only one in the neighborhood that knows how to get
that. Phil Hendry.
Nuclear weapon.
Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I think these guys were asleep.
Really?
I mean, just not just literally, but figuratively.
Do you think
too.
That Dick Cheney is weirdly helping Barack Obama?
And
perhaps?
To me, this is a prime example of the president, both presidents.
This is an official affidavit from the court, and it is saying that
I've
the whole
thing. I've used the N-word most of my life.
Giant douche nozzle.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. And we want to, first of all, before we say anything else tonight, we want to thank not only the great station KPRC in Houston, Texas, for taking a hold of the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show and making it a part of its daily broadcast schedule, but also we've got some terrific friends in the city of Reno who have picked up the radio show, and those are the guys at KKFT 99.1 FM, Reno will be going on the air if we aren't on the air there already. And in Albany at WGOW 590 AM in Albany, New York. These are a couple of markets where we were, where we held forth for quite a time, bud.
And then what happened was you said a dirty... Well, you
shut up about what I said or didn't say.
How come?
Never mind about that. Nothing happened. Anyway, we thank you guys in Albany and Reno. We're so grateful and so happy to be back on the air with you there. And if you guys want to check out an affiliate list, we have it on our website at philhendryshow.com. And right now, while you're looking at the affiliate list, you can also take a look at the live streaming video of our show, which is on the air each and every night there. Live streaming video as well as the downloadable audio and the live audio feed. I mean, it's a multimedia phantasmagora, baby. And if you ain't got a computer and you don't know what that is, you can listen on the radio. It's as simple as that. You have all kinds of options. A lot of things happening on the political front. The White House hosted a liberal group of media figures. When I say a liberal group of media figures, acknowledged people in the world of the media who are liberal hosts. Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow were guests at the White House, and Barack Obama was hosting the feat. Joe Biden has rejoined it against Dick Cheney and has said, who cares what Cheney thinks? Fox News was refused an interview with the White House, and so the collected networks declined to take the pool feed. Now, I'll explain all of this to you, but there's this back and forth, this tug-of-war that's going on between the White House and the media, and there is a tug-of-war, obviously, ideologically going on between the two parties. And all of those things we want to discuss with you tonight. And we'll have on the line with us right now from West Virginia a couple of guys who've been regulars on our program before, West Virginia State Legislators Kurt Quede and Guy Barton. Both you guys are Democrats, and you're both President Obama supporters, but you have a great many friends across the aisle. And first of all, thanks for joining us tonight.
Phil, well, always a pleasure to be on your program.
Now, Phil, the other question I was talking to Kurt about was whether or not this czar situation, people say it's unconstitutional. I think we've got to look into that, too.
Because the question of constitutionality, Phil, that door swing both ways, and people trying to bring that up.
Well, you know what I'll do here is let's take it one issue at a time.
Oh, all right.
And let's first of all, let's talk about something that both of you discussed in an interview with one of the local media there in West Virginia. The perception of the Republican Party. Now, I know there's a perception of the Democratic Party. There's perceptions of liberals. There's perceptions of conservatives. But the president today is a Democrat. And both of you said that the perception of the Republican / conservative movement is getting to a point where they've got to do something about it, right?
Well, I'll take that.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Phil, the first thing I want to say is that we both have a great many friends across the aisle, as you say. We've got conservative friends. We have Republican friends. And many of them we have served in the West Virginia State Legislature for a great time. But the perception is exactly as you say. The perception of the conservative Tea Party and the perception of the Republican Party has gotten so negative now, they've got to shut it down. And I think they've got to shut it down as quick as they can.
I feel like they've got to shut it down and from the standpoint of that it's not doing them any good anymore. I'm not saying that it wasn't doing some good, but we feel they've got to shut it down as quickly as they can.
And by shut it down, I mean they've got to today shut it down and whatever connections they have.
Well, what are you saying, shut it down? You're not talking about the party, right?
Oh, no, we're not talking about the party. We're talking about the Tea Party.
Yeah, we're talking about the Tea Party Express and all of the conservative, that dynamo, that media dynamo that the conservatives have going for them that they thought was so positive is actually turning against them. And I think that's why you've got to talk to someone who's real straight about that. Say, shut it down today.
And by shutting it down.
When you say shut it down, you're saying what? You're saying stop the Tea Parties?
Absolutely got to stop the Tea Party because now everybody thinks they're so crazy, you know.
Well, let me be as clear as I can, Phil. This is Kurt. The perception now is that the Tea Party is a racist group of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know it's not. You know it's not. I'm pretty sure, Guy, you wouldn't say they are.
Well, I know a great many people in the Tea Party, and they're good people. But the perception now, they're nothing but crap, you know, what you call a lot of these rednecks.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It is a perception that they are redneck, they are racist, they are intolerant of minority and all the other group of people that I'm sure they are trying to embrace and bring into their party or their movement, if you will.
And so the only thing to do now, the damage been done, they got to shut down.
Well, see, I was going to ask you that question. So what do you mean they got to shut it down so people think they're racist? I mean, are you saying that that is a widespread perception?
Oh, without question, a widespread perception. Now, when I talk to people, you hear people say, well, the Tea Party, these people are all racist, crackers, and redneck. And they get very nervous about that.
And, you know, Phil, it's been said by people, very moderate people, too, and John McCain, and you heard Thaddeus McCarter is a very fine young man. I think he'd make a very great legislator someday if he become a Democrat, you know.
Yeah, it's the only thing wrong with that. McCarter is a Republican.
Yeah, but they've all said that these people are kook. He has used terms like they're kooky. He has used terms like they're way out there, you know. And I don't think it has done the Republican Party any good.
Yeah, but that's a far cry from saying that the perception is that the Tea Party people and...
Well, not just Tea Party, but the conservative side of the Republican Party. The Tea Party, I think, more conservative side of the Republican Party. Now, people are looking at them like they're kooky. You know, when they're going after this woman, she's a pro-choice candidate, they want to support her. Now, you got to ask yourself whether these people know what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's another good point, I think, that Guy Megan. They're not just kooky, they're not just racist, and they hate blacks, and they hate Obama on account of he's black, you know, which I know that's not true, but that's what people think. Now everyone thinks they are mentally unstable. You see, like they don't have, you know, they got a screw loose or something on that.
Because of their support for this, so this woman, Scafalavo or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's Scafalavo, the lady in upstate New York.
Now, this is a candidate that Newt Gingrich has supported, has thrown his support behind. It's a candidate that Thad McCotter has thrown his support behind. And as we said the other night on the show, it's also a candidate that, surprisingly, Bertha Lewis of Acorn has thrown her support behind.
Well, that's what I mean. It is crazy. People think they're crazy. They think that they have lost, like I said, to put it the most colloquial way I can, they got a screw loose. That they are mentally unfit to address the problems of this country, that they may have a mental disease of some kind.
But that they are racist, you know, and they're a bunch of, it's like a rolling cracker barrel, you know, is what we call that, a rolling cracker barrel.
Well, what do you mean a rolling cracker barrel?
Well, the perception is this Tea Party go from town to town like a circus, like a three-ring circus. And they pull into town and they pull out put the tent up, you know, and they put up all the, everything that they want to do and tell people about the Tea Party Express or whatever they call it. Well, the whole thing comes across like a kooky, like a nut, like some kind of a nut caravan, you know.
Like a cavalcade of nuts.
Like a cavalcade of nuts, yeah. And
well, like a cavalcade of nuts. All right, let's talk about what this perception is.
Well, that's just a manner of speaking, you know.
No, I know that, but let's talk about who has this perception that the Tea Party people and the conservative people are racist and mentally unstable.
Well, I mean, the country does. When a country look at them, and
I don't. You say the whole country?
Oh, I think the whole country does. Yeah.
Well, look at all of the people that you see on television.
Well, those are all Fox News viewers. That's not the whole country. Those people are all sort of in bed with this mentality now. Maybe they aren't bothered by the racist image that these groups have. Maybe not bothered by how mentally unstable they look.
I don't think the mentally unstable part is all that bad. I think it's when you talk about how racist they are, you know.
But they're not racist.
No, I know they're not racist. No one, that it has any sense that they're racist.
But the perception of the country of America is that the Tea Party is a bunch of mentally unstable, racist, race-baiting, black-hating, Mexican-hating, anybody that got a, you know, any kind of ethnic heritage, they don't want them around, no way, no how. You know, you get back, you know.
Yeah, get back if you're black. You know, there's that song. For the Tea Party people to survive, they got to shut this thing down now. They got to regroup.
Yeah, they've got to regroup, and they've got to do some serious purging. As you heard that man say, purge out a lot of these racists, these crackers and everything else like that.
But if they're not really racist, and they're not really rednecky, racist, kooky, crazy people, like you said, who are they going to purge out?
Well, I think they've got to get some of these people that don't know how to keep their mouth shut, you know, or with those signs. They got to get them out of there. They've got to shut the whole thing down and re-examine the relationship with the media, especially this guy, this Glenn. Glenn Hannity,
Glenn Beck?
Yeah, Glenn Beck or Lou Hannity. I forget what the man's name.
Lou Hannity.
Sean Hannity is the other guy.
Yeah, and rethink their relationship with him.
All right, I'm going to take a break here and take the opportunity here to at least play one little clip. This is Keith Olbermann. He was talking with Rachel Maddow, and this was, I guess, just before his show or just after his show or something. They're doing a little bit of a cross plug, and here he is talking about the two of them meeting in the White House with President Obama, talking to him, and this kind of this liberal media sit-down.
Karl Rove is now saying, if we did anything like that, people would go nuts.
When people talk about post-traumatic stress disorder in politics, do you ever feel like they're walking examples of this? Like they have forgotten what they did half the time while in the White House? This is exactly what they did. They had, not only did they have these meetings, but as you pointed out correctly, they were much more doctrinaire and much more politically, there were eligibles and ineligibles, and nobody ever crossed from one to the other. Pot and kettle, and it is stunning. It's just confounding and stupid and silly, and it just looks like another thing that they want to wring their hands about as loudly and as publicly as possible to scare people for no purpose whatsoever.
You're saying that they're very angry for a reason?
Oh, you can hear how angry a lot of liberals are. I'm not angry. I know they don't mean any wrong, you know, but...
Tech, the Tea Party got everybody thinking they're racist and they hate the Ku Klux Klan, everything, you know.
And you hear how angry there, Mr. That was Keith, Rachel Maddow talking about that.
Well, they're angry because those guys are on the... I don't know why they're angry, but... All right, we have Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton with us. They are from the West Virginia State Legislature talking about... the perception is so negative now of the conservative movement and the Republican movement in general in the country that the tax Tea Party thing needs to be shut down, that they need to purge their membership of what they call extremists who make it appear as if the whole organization is racist and sociopathic. And it is their opinion, at least among the people they talk to, that the perception of the country now is the Tea Party people and the conservative movement in general is a racist, psychopathic movement. Now, that sounds pretty extreme to me. And they are dismissing what I see every day on television, people who actually support it. But then again, that is Fox Television. Look, we'll take a break. We'll be back with your phone calls and with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And this is the groundbreaking, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The world-famous... Oh, yeah. Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, yeah.
Time now for Life Imitates Phil.
That was very sensitive of you.
Well, I got to get moving here, okay? Life Imitates Phil. Today, in an online chat, Washington Post reporter Ben Pershing was asked why birthers and other conspiracy theorists, such as those claiming that former top Clinton White House aide Vince Foster was murdered, get play on the real media, while others, such as the 9/11 truthers, don't. Whatever, okay? This is from Think Progress. Ben Pershing said, perhaps there is an actual videotape of the planes hitting the World Trade Center that billions of people around the world have seen, while there is no videotape of Obama being born in Hawaii or Vince Foster committing suicide. That's exactly what Larry Grover said on our show last night, so we claim, Ben Pershing, you listened to our show last night, you're repeating your chat, you thief.
This has been Life Imitates Phil.
Thank you. So we're calling you out, you thieving, no-good, stinking...
Jew.
Don't say... We're joking about that, Ben. We're just kidding.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from the West Virginia State Legislature join us. A couple of very nice guys. They're both committed Democrats and supporters of President Obama. But you guys are saying you are not opposed to the teabagger people per se. You're trying to say there's a perception. But I want you to give me an example of why there's a perception that the Tea Party people are racist or the Tea Party people are sociopathic.
If I could, there's a lady here. They brought the Tea Party through Charleston, West Virginia, which is, and a little woman was photographing the local paper, dancing her with a bone in her nose. And
would you say a bone in her nose?
Well, yeah, this lady had a bone in her nose, and she was doing and she was spinning a parasol over her head and saying, Obamacare, Obamacare, you know, let's all do it. And I think that's wrong.
Well, I would call that blatantly racist.
I don't think it's race. I think people are having fun. And I understand that people are having fun with it.
When you throw a woman's there with a bone in her nose, was she a white woman?
I don't know. She might. Well, that's the other thing. She had to be a white. You don't ever see any black people at these things. And that's why people think it is. That's another problem they have. They ain't got no black people. They can't attract no black people because it frightens a lot of black. They hang with that many whites who are not... I guess the coolest, the hippest people in the room, you know, and I don't mean anything by that.
But if you see a lot of the people with a bone in their nose or doing a fright wig, they sold out of these fright wigs the day before the Tea Party coming to town. And I don't know if...
What do you mean they sold out of fright wigs?
They had a run for the Tea Party coming to town of people buying this Don King wig.
Okay, 877...
Again, Phil, I know everybody, people are just trying to have some fun, but the perception is that these people are no-count, race-hating, race-baiting people, you know, and they got to shut this thing down and get it squared away.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I have not heard any of those comments, or I have not seen
any of those news stories. Let's go to a phone call. We have Alan in Louisville, Kentucky. Alan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What can we do for you, Alan?
Well,
yes, sir.
Listening to the radio here in Louisville and heard your two guests, and really, I don't know where they're getting their criteria from. They must be watching MSNBC or something like that, because I don't see that the consensus of the country is that the Republican Party is a bunch of fools that don't know what they're doing. They're fighting for the little men now. No, the Tea Party isn't what it started out to be. Its basis was credible, and now it's turned into something else. But I don't think it's changed.
Well, that's my point exactly. I think this man makes a good point. You know, it started out at well-meaning. We know a lot of people are good people. But what they do, sir, they allow some lady go, what do you say about a group of people allow a woman show up with a fright wig and a bone in her nose and saying Obamacare, Obamacare, you know. And she looked like something from a
jungle movie.
Yeah, like out of a jungle movie or something like that.
Well, maybe it was just one of those isolated instances.
No, we've had reports of this all over the country. You know, people dressed up as Uncle Ben. And I don't find that to be amusing. And I know the people mean well.
Maybe it's just the fact that there's a few kooks.
Yeah, but you see, the perception across the country now is that a bunch of people think Watermelon Joke is funny. And the whole point, like this man just said, the whole point of Tea Party is lost on people.
Is the gentleman there? I think we lost Kurt and Guy.
I'm still here.
Is our caller there? Yes, sir. Go ahead. Your comment.
Okay. The Tea Party lost.
Do we have the guys back?
I think they did, too.
No, we lost you guys, okay? So hold on. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yes, the Tea Party lost its sight, but I don't see that that's changed the perception of the Republican Party. I mean, why don't you go ask the constituents of your Republican friends how they feel about their representative?
I mean, like everybody now is kind of looking at the Republican Party through this Tea Party pair of eyeglasses, and they think they lost their mind, you know, and I think they got to try to get their minds back. That's all.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I appreciate your phone call, sir. We'll be back with more of your phone calls at 877-876-PHIL as we talk here about the Tea Party and the Republican Party. Do people think they're racist? Crazy.
Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I need to stop there.
Welcome back to the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, two good men from West Virginia. You guys are Democrats, liberals. You're supporters of Barack Obama. And I like talking to you guys because you're fair-minded. You have a lot of Republican friends, a lot of conservative friends.
Well, we do, Phil. But I think it bears repeating that they're doing so much damage to their cause, the Republican Party cause, the conservative cause with their Tea Party.
Well, you guys mentioned racism as being, they're perceived as racist.
In some instances, I'm sure they've got a lot of racism, but you can't sit and eat fried chicken like you see them. If you look on the television, they had a Tea Party here, and I mentioned it with Charleston. We went down to one in Baltimore and another one in Washington, D.C. And here are Caucasians sitting around a picnic table with a fried chicken. And they're busting out the watermelon, and they're breaking down corn on a cob, you know.
Yeah, they'll bust that corn on the cob down. Now, of all the fast food we have in the Charleston, West Virginia area, and we've got a lot, you ask yourself the question.
Not to interrupt you, I'm sorry, Kurt.
Go ahead.
Why do a group of Caucasians sit around and gnawing on a chicken leg like they are taking a break from, cleaning out the sump, you know? So my question...
Are you telling me that these people are eating fried chicken as a way of mocking President Obama?
Well, that's the perception again. You can't, they got no control over these Tea Party. They got no control over these nuts. And so it has now begun to infect the entire Republican Party and the conservative movement to the point where the perception now around the country... You understand? Again, I want to underline the word. The perception around the country of these Tea Party people... have lost their mind.
All right, well, we do have information here. The Tea Party Express number 2, Countdown to Judgment Day.
Oh, Lord.
Is starting on Sunday, and they're going to be starting in San Diego.
That's out on the West Coast where you are, right?
Yes, that's just down the road from us in San Diego.
Well, Well, I think that they, if they know what's good for them, they're going to shut this down. They're going to shut it down good, and they're going to keep it shut down until they weed out all these chicken eaters and everybody trying to make a big joke out of the whole thing. Otherwise, they're going to look like a it look like a horse's ass, like you just say.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, a number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to a phone call. We have Jim in Washington, D.C. Jim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind tonight, sir?
You, Phil, good evening to you. This is
Yes, sir.
Time to my that I've called in. I've listened to your show several times. I find you quite refreshing, by the way. I don't agree with you all the
Thank
time,
you.
But you're quite fair-minded and refreshing.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I second that, by the way.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I was saying, sir, that I second your opinion. We've been good friends with Phil for a long time. He's a wonderful man.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You, sir. You're sure. All right, let me get down to the brass tacks. The distinguished gentlemen that are commenting, I would really be interested. I don't really understand where they're coming from. On the one hand, they say, I mean, I understand what they're saying about the racism and rednecks and all this, but I don't understand if they're trying to tell me as a listener on your station that it is the perception of everyone in the United States, or is it their personal feelings?
Overriding per se, yeah, the perception of the people, the common man.
Hold on.
I would say the common man, you know, all the talk radio people, all that.
Well, let the gentleman finish. Go ahead, Jim.
But the reason I want to say that is because sometimes I hear them. You know, I don't want to say what's in their mind. They, you know, they have their thing. But what I hear them kind of hiding behind the expression of it's the perception. And then, Phil, I've heard you try to have them clarify that a couple times, and I haven't heard them do it. I would be interested in wanting to know, how they personally feel about the Tea Parties, what they personally think of these people who are at the Tea Parties. Having said that, I'll shut up because I want to hear the comment, but I am a conservative. I am open to many liberal viewpoints. However, I am, sir, not only not a redneck and not a racist.
Yeah, you get me another double gobble, too.
Yeah, I'm going to go get one.
I'm not any of that, and I have
Kurt, do you want to field that?
I understand the gentleman how he feels. I'm just trying to be the messenger here, and I'm sorry that I've got a bad message. You know,
don't kill
the messenger.
I would like to hear your opinion.
I'm saying say that again, sir. I didn't quite hear you. What?
Your personal opinion, because that would affect very much whether or not I'm swayed by your opinion or not.
You know, all I am, I'm just a state legislator here in West Virginia. My personal opinion doesn't matter a drop of rain at the end of the day.
I say that is some people on the left that actually believe that 9/11 was a conspiracy from the Bush administration, and yet that's not the majority of the country.
I'm just saying what the folks out there are thinking. They're thinking these Tea Party people are some kind of new age suburban Ku Klan, you know. That's what they're thinking. I don't know that that's true or not. I think when you allow people to come out and gnawing on a chicken leg and everything like that, it looked to them.
People that do that are ignorant, and you have ignorant people both sides of the aisle, sir.
That doesn't make any difference now, because the Tea Party, they just stunk it all out. You know, they're stinking all out. What they're doing is they're stinking out your party.
This gentleman's saying that there's people stinking out the Democratic Party.
This Tea Party is on TV every day. What's that?
I personally believe that the Republican Party does need some reform, but I'm actually very proud of the fact that, at least from my perspective, that the Americans who are not crazy
and
all this have formed together to form.
You got a lot of people at Tea Party will make a stop and get that side of collard green. Now, why do they do that? Because they want to make sure that when a TV camera on them. They're gobbling down a collard green like they're, out in the field, and they're waiting for the truck to come by and pick them up at 5 o'clock, you know.
That kind of behavior, sir, I would strongly condemn.
Jim, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Joyce in Houston. Joyce, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What can we do for you?
Yes, first, let me say that I am a black
senior citizen grandmother that's a few years
God bless you.
Shy
God bless
of 80
you,
years old. And this, what I'm hearing tonight is complete insanity. And this mess about there are no blacks in the Republican Party, it's not the Republicans' fault that blacks are not in the Republican Party.
Oh, ma'am, I didn't say not in the Republican Party. I said at the Tea Party of, when they come out
okay.
at
the
all the Caucasians out there.
Yeah, a lot of Caucasians on the Tea Party.
Let me tell you something. You're mentioning some few signs that that's not right, but that's what the media picks up. They don't pick up on those nice signs out there. See, because I am out there. I am a black woman. And let me tell you something. The Democrat Party don't give a damn about black folks. They care about the black vote.
Oh, dear. Now, that's not fair, dear. We have always been there.
Look
at all them programs we start.
Hey, hold on, gentlemen, because I think Joyce wants to say something.
The Democrat Party has done a good job in keeping my people 4D'd. Not OD, 4D, dumb, dependent, depressed, and Democrat. And you cannot tell me that the Republican Party is the cause of more blacks are in the Democrat Party. 99% of blacks voted for Obama. You can't get 99% of us to say that the sky is blue. So it is something wrong with us.
Well, Phil, I don't know where Mr. Henry, why are you laughing at that?
I think the lady's funny.
Because I have lived next door to blacks ever since I come to Texas. And let me tell you something.
Well, you don't want to sit down at a tea party, everybody eating collard greens. They made a special trip because they know the Fox TV is going to have a camera on them.
That stuff doesn't even
come on.
Because I am okay with who
they
I
did.
Am.
They took a side trip.
What do you guys mean they took us?
With who I am. The Democrat Party don't give a damn about blacks. Now, let me tell you this.
Now, you know
they
that's
have,
not true. I mean, we have all kind of Caucasians.
They have kept my people on the plantation all these years voting Democrat. And you come into any black community and look at our rundown community. Drug houses
and
everywhere.
Keith Olbermann said Michael Steele is self-hating black man.
Wait, hold on. All right, Joyce, hold on. Joyce, hold just for a second, dear. You said something, Kurt, that I didn't like. And
what'd I say?
You said that Keith Olbermann called Michael Steele a self-hating black man, and I heard him say that, and that's an ignorant thing to say.
Yeah, but Keith Olbermann is a good, well, I shouldn't say this, he a Jew, not a Jew, he's a Jew, Jewish man, so he know.
What do you mean he knows that Mike, what does that mean he knows?
He's just as radical as what you were saying that you saw that split at the Tea Party. They do not. The Democrat Party don't care nothing about us. And let me tell you, I left the Democrat Party, I guess, 40 years ago. Because all they do is use us for our vote.
May I ask a question now?
And we don't see them anymore until it's time to vote for them again. And
what
here they come to the rundown black communities. And you
I wonder if this lady's a black woman.
She's a black woman? She said she's a black woman.
I thought it was a man. Almost 80 years old. And I left
I thought you were a man, I'm
party.
Sorry.
40 years ago.
Well, listen to her.
You're on fire.
And once they get our vote, we vote for them. We don't see them anymore.
Back up, flammable, time to vote for them again. Flammable load ahead.
Thank you, Joyce.
That's your perception. That's not the world.
You got the Caucasians in the Democratic Party all wrong. These Democratic Caucasians are good for the black people. And
what are you talking about, the Democratic Caucasians?
What do you mean good?
I hope you all having a good time. We're trying to help the black people, and now you laughing, and Keith Olbermann.
And right, you're the guys that said that Keith Olbermann was a nice Jewish boy, so he ought to know. Joyce, thank you so much for your call. You're on fire, girl, and thank you. And that was a very good series of comments, I think, from Joyce.
You know, Phil, you must enjoy when you get a African American come on here and make me look like a horse's ass. I'm a Democrat. I'm not no Republican. She come on. She's black, and she ripping into me like I'm a plate of beans and rice. And she's saying all this. I said the Caucasians in the Democratic Party good people, and she laughs.
So what? You guys are talking about the Caucasians in the Republican Party eating fried chicken.
They've eaten fried chicken at a tea party to make that lady look bad. And meanwhile, we come Caucasian, we care, and she laughing at us. Now that lady laughs. She laughed loud, she laughed hard, and laughed long.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to line six, because we do have a gentleman who is an actual state's representative like yourselves in New Hampshire, I believe. It's Al. Al, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Yeah, hi, Phil. This is Representative Al Baldassare from Londonderry, New Hampshire. Al,
Nice to talk to you.
I was on my way from a dinner in Boston, and I was disgusted what I just heard on the radio from them two state reps from West Virginia. Those are Americans. First of all, you just had a hero on the phone, the American that just spoke. The Democratic Party continue to go with the black, with the racist. Obama is half white and half black, just like some of my nephews and nieces. They're Americans.
Oh, I know that, yeah. We try to get everybody around here to understand that. We got a few whites to vote, you know.
Now, yeah, they're the other ones didn't want to vote for them.
Them two state representatives, I've been to tea parties in Boston. I've been to them here in New Hampshire and over in Vermont. What I see is Americans, black, white, Mexican, Spanish, women, all races, Americans that are out there. They're calling them nuts, but the reason is because their message is loud and clear. Enough is enough. The Democrats have taken the minorities and left them in the gutter. And
I know that. I know. But how come they put on a fright wig and all of this? See?
Well,
and
that's
why,
not right.
And the Fox TV, they had that on there.
You show me the clip on that there.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you right now, it's probably one of them Democrats there that are probably getting in there and making it look worse than it is.
So you think it's like a ringer or something, Al? These guys are sticking them in there, huh?
That is slander. That's libel. Well, you know that libel.
Let me tell you this, state representative.
I've seen a white man eat chicken. It's clear as I'm looking at you right now.
I'm Italian and I eat chicken. Does that mean I'm a racist?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I think it's a bad thing to do on a tea party when you know Obama. I mean, you got a black president, all these whites sitting around gnawing on chicken, making a special trip for collard green, you know, and...
Oh, you guys are reading stuff into stuff that doesn't even mean anything.
That's right.
Everybody takes chicken to a picnic.
When the last time you picked...
I was in the Marines and ate the food there. Does that mean I'm a racist?
Now, I was a Marine, too. You know, we had to eat anything they served us. Sometimes they served us slop just to get a big laugh out of it, you know.
All right.
No, I don't think the racists in the Marine Corps. I think they were just being cruel and wanted to torture us, you know. But now I see a white man eat collard green. I say, now, he ain't in the Marine, so he's got to be some kind of a racist sitting there gnawing on that collard green like he thinks he Uncle Ben's stepson, you know.
Okay.
You know, so I have nieces and nephews in my family, and I'm Italian.
Uh-huh.
That are black and Puerto Rican. They're Americans. This every word out of the Democrats' mouth is always about racism. They are the ones that continue to bring this up, and I feel bad for the Americans there on the way they're treated by the Democrat Party.
Well, hold on a minute.
You know that we have done very good. We've tried to help the black man up, but what are you doing now? The black man are kicking us right in the groin. He don't care if it swells up the size of
I don't want you using that term, if you don't mind.
What did I say?
You said they're kicking them right in the you-know-what, and I don't want to...
Well, what are black people now turning on us? They're turning on us like a pack of wild dogs, you know? It's like you're walking through the woods. You have
Why
a hunting
Why do you
going
to go with black
it's
people?
The...
Why do you have to use
that
term?
Yeah.
They're Americans. Americans stand up for what's right.
Oh, yeah. Now, yeah, you're right about that, yeah.
Yeah, well, it slipped my mind. That didn't slip my mind, but what I'm saying...
It slipped your mind. Listen, Al, thanks so much for your call. I got to take a break here. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Very good call. Thank you, sir, and thank you for your service to the great state of New Hampshire. 877-876, what are you looking at?
What are you going to kiss the guy's butt for?
What guy's butt?
Yeah, you're talking about the great state of New Hampshire, man. How do you know it's a great state?
I said the Granite State.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't say great. Jeez. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Kirk Queedy and Guy Barton in just a moment.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, 877-876-PHIL with Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy from the State House in West Virginia as we talk about the Tea Party, which is going to be launching part two, phase two of the Tea Party. The Tax Tea Party is launching on Sunday. They're in San Diego, and both of you guys have said it needs to be shut down because of the racism. We're going to get to, because not of racism, you say there's a perception there of racism, which is hurting the Tea Party movement. I want to get to some calls.
Well, Phil, I just one thing. Your caller's been having some fun here tonight. I know misrepresented everything that the guy and I are trying to say.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, you have. But I know Guy had something to say. Tell Phil what you said to me in the break.
Well, I thought the only thing I said, Phil, was if I had... I love fried chicken, too. There's no question I love fried chicken. But if I had fried chicken, I'd have the common decency and the common courtesy as a Caucasian. I'd eat it in the privacy of my own, you know, within the house. I'd have decency to do that. But not the flaunting it down on a tea party and make it look like a racism.
All right, let's go to a phone call. I don't know. Here's Bobby in Mobile, Alabama. Bobby, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. And what is on your mind, sir?
Are these guys really trying to say that what you eat makes you a racist or not?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm saying the perception, sir. I'm trying to say to you the perception is out there among rank-and-file American, the Tea Party people, when they stick a corn cob in their mouth or, you know, they shove a wedge of pie in their face, people think they're mocking black people. They're mocking Obama's Sunday night dinner, you know.
When they put a wedge of pie in their... Yeah, go ahead, Bobby.
Man, I'm from down here in Mobile. That's just what we eat. I mean, that's what we eat in the South. We like fried chicken, college game, biscuit cooked in fatback. I mean, that's just good old food. I mean, you're not trying to make fun of somebody just for eating it.
No, most people don't know that. You know, most people think any white, any Caucasian, you know what I mean by the caucasoid, he's going to come up, put a wedge of pie in his face. And, you see a Caucasian with a wedge of pie hanging out of his face. They're going to say, now look at that man. I bet you're going to go out and try to keep a man from using a bathroom.
And are you kidding me?
The American people are that ignorant.
I got to tell you, you know, I wanted to believe that, too. I was just like you, Bobby, at one time in my life. I had all kinds of ideals and high hopes for people. And I said, you know, people just can't be that ignorant. They cannot be that without a soul, you know, soulless. And then I heard a man say, I saw a Caucasian with a wedge of pie stuck in his face with a big bright eyes on him. And he said, man, that man, he looked like he's just fixing to keep somebody from riding a bus.
Yeah, that'll happen, you know.
And, are you kidding me? What do you mean by a Caucasian with a wedge of pie hanging out of his face?
I'm talking about if you get like a snapshot of a man, he's looking up and he's surprised, he sees you, and both hands just has the wedge of pie in his face, not even use a fork.
Okay, I've never seen that.
Are you trying to say it was racist for my buddy to bring a watermelon to work and that we were making fun of the black guy that works with us? I mean...
I think. You tell me. You caucasoids got together and hunkered down on a watermelon. The black man right there. Oh man, you got more guts than me.
I'd love to be able to do that.
All right, listen. Thank you so much. And you know what? You guys need to rethink something. Phil Hendry.
Go to talkradionetwork.com for more information. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Thank you. This portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. If you want a steak, I mean, if you want the best meat you've ever had that passed between your lips,
here at Ted's,
that's the place.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
It's portion of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You're invited to participate in the conversation tonight. Ted Bell joining us about a very deadly serious topic, Ted, without any question.
It's very serious for the state, and I think the entire country needs to take it seriously.
That is the $10 billion budget shortfall that the state of California has. Now, we recognize that it's important for California, just as any budget shortfall would be important for any state. But why should the country, for that matter, care about that?
Well, Phil, I,
think that the United States, the American people, have a vested interest in California in much the same way that we all had a vested interest in New York. We saw what happened in New York on 9/11. It was something that shocked each and every one of us. I don't think it's anything we're ever going to forget about, and certainly will stay with us for the rest of our lives. By the very same token, California is that symbol. Whereas New York is the Big Apple, California is the promised land. Whereas New York is the center of commerce and trade, California is the center of our, it's the center of our hopes and our dreams and our futures. Whereas New York is, in many ways, the embodied history of the United States, California is the embodied future of the United States. Why do I say this? Because, as you mentioned, Bill, and I think it transcends governors, to be honest with you. We have Jerry Brown, who is the governor of this state. I don't particularly like him, but that's not anything that I wanted to come on this program. Jerry Brown is Jerry Brown.
And well, we're not. You don't want to turn this into a political thing, do you?
No, what I'm saying is the state has a $10 billion budget shortfall. The state, there's a difference between, and I don't mean to talk down, I'm sure people do understand what it is I'm trying to say, but there's a difference between what the money is that California has and how much we need. The difference is $10 billion. How can we make this up? Well, we can continue to fire people, and we can continue to...
Let's talk about, what about the illegal alien situation?
All right, hold on for just a minute, okay? That is politically charged, and you don't want to go there. It's politically charged, you don't want to go there.
And if you're asking for the $10 billion, Ted, okay,
yes.
Why can't we put everything on the table as to what it is that we need to get rid of?
The illegal alien question is filled with lots of pitfalls. There's a lot of mines. There's a lot of traps. There's a lot of potholes. Don't go there. Don't go there. You know how many businesses there are in the state of California that do rely on the illegal alien? If you take them out of here, you might as well take the entire state and flush it down a toilet. And I know that's not what the American people want to do.
Wait, I don't accept that, okay?
Well, I don't care what you accept.
I will not accept that this status here of the millions of illegals that are here, that are being paid for, regardless of whether or not they're working, regardless of whether or not they're putting taxes into the system. The fact is, there are social services that go to support people that are not legally in the United States. Now, you're going to have people asking questions like that. If you're asking the American people, is this what you're leading up to?
You just said you're leading up to what?
Are you leading up to
I'll tell you, yes, that's what I'm leading up to. The American people need desperately to begin to see the reality of this situation. We can't afford to refuse to accept the situation.
And why is this the American people in total? Why is that their problem?
Because, again, as I told you, America, California is the shining city on the hill. California has been the future of this country for so many years, for so long, and it is a country that must recognize this. We are asking that the American people, through their largesse, through their well-known charity, through their ability to see when there is a problem, yes, we're asking that this shortfall be made up in terms of a federal tax so that California makes its $10 billion and can continue to function well into the future. And
how would this money be acquired?
Well, you're saying that in a very... excuse me for saying this, Phil, but I want to just... You're very sober when you say that. I thought you were going to attack me again with the illegal alien thing.
Well, it's not an attack, Ted, but I'm telling you, people are going to
No, I know what people are... I'll deal with what people say. I don't think it's a very difficult argument to have with anybody. They're going to say, oh, what about the illegal aliens and how much they cost? You know how you deal with that? You know what you say to people when they say, what about all the illegal aliens in California and how much they cost? Why don't you put a control on that before you ask us for $10 billion? You know how you deal with that?
How?
You say to them, guess what? That's a political hot potato. That is an atomic bomb. Don't go near it. Don't go near it. That's how you deal with that.
And people aren't going to take that for an answer.
Yeah. Well, no. Yes, they will take it for an answer because it's a political hot potato. Now, California is facing a budget crisis. And the idea here is to federally tax the income tax returns of Americans till we make up the $10 billion. It could be a set fee, a flat fee, a percentage.
And is this something that we pass by way of law? Is there a referendum? What do you see? How do you propose to go to the American people and say, oh, and by the way, you are going to make up the $10 billion shortfall for the state of California?
You say it the same way. You ask people, would you pay money for the Statue of Liberty to get it fixed? Yes. Would you pay money for the Capitol building? Yes. Would you?
You're putting California.
Hold on for a minute. Would you pay money to fix the Lincoln Memorial? Yes. Would you pay money to fix the Jefferson Memorial? Yes. Would you pay money to fix California? Yes.
And so you're putting California on the same plane as the Lincoln Memorial? And
yes, of course I am. I think that an argument can be made that.
What about all the other states that may have a budget shortfall?
Name one.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, most certainly. Name one.
Missouri.
Missouri is not. Boy, you really want to go there, don't you?
You said to name one, okay? Are you going to tell me that California is like the Lincoln Memorial, but Missouri isn't?
No, Missouri is not. Missouri is a great state. But it's no one thinks of Missouri when you think of a state that equals the Washington Monument. No state equals the Washington Monument except a few. California, the state of New York, perhaps. I don't know. It's very Texas. You know.
So you're naming off states that seem to have some currency in the lore of American history.
Well, that's a very fancy way of saying states that were important to the history of this country.
All the states were important to the history of this country. You talk about Missouri, it was central to the history of this country for a great many years.
Yeah. If you want to go back 150 years, Phil, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be reasonable, and I'm trying to tell the people that are listening to your broadcast tonight that when they look at the state of California in much the same way that one might look at the state of Texas, if you will, or Alaska, or Yosemite National Park, the Grand Tetons, Mount Rushmore, these are institutions. California is that, and I don't think it's a very high price to pay to know that you live in a country with a California, to come up with the money that we need to make sure that California does not go bust, to make up that $10 billion shortfall. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's one businessman out here in California, Ted, from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Be mighty glad you did. And that's what we're asking.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The proposition here that the American taxpayer, it's not going to happen.
Why do you say that?
Well, you're not going to get people. People are so anti-tax right now that to say to them $10 billion in new taxes for the state of California that you're going to take out of the people, okay? Washington State has a budget shortfall of $5.3 billion. What do you think about we kick in for Washington?
What was the state again?
Washington State.
You know, Phil, with all due respect, if you're trying to get me to insult Washington State,
No, I'm asking you, if California is deserving of the money, why isn't Washington State?
That's not California. I don't think I... Do I gotta point that out? Washington State is Washington State. What do you think of when you think of Washington State? I think of apples. That's about it.
I think of Seattle. I think of the Space Needle.
No, you don't think of the Space Needle.
Yes, I do, when I think of Washington State.
You think of apples. Apples. That's what you think of. Apples. Big, ripe, big, you know, the big apples they got. That's what you think of. When you think of California, what do you think of? Movie stars, the film business. You think about without California, there wouldn't have been television. Without California, there was no film business. And quite frankly, Phil, without California, you don't have an agricultural industry.
How do you say that? Okay, that, you know, you could probably make an argument for the other things you said.
I'll tell you how you say that. California showed the rest of the country how to grow stuff right. You know, for the longest time, the United States was we've always been a great country when it came to agriculture. Always a great country when it came to growing things. But we didn't know we didn't know our ass from a hole in the ground until California in the San Joaquin Valley started to grow stuff. And we grew, and the stuff we grow, and the apples and all, everything. You talk about the apples they have in Washington. I don't know anything about agriculture, okay? You've got me at a disadvantage. But I will tell you this. California, as an industry, showed the rest of the world, here's how you grow a crop. okay? You people have been walking around with your thumbs parked for centuries. Now we're going to show you here, wheat. This is how you see. Look at that. There's a corn on the cob. That's what we did. How do you build a road? California finally said, can we show you how to build a road? Because we've been butchering that job, too. How do you build a building? Can we show you how to build a building so it doesn't fall down? Can we show you how to... I mean, you name it, California has taught the world. And what do we get in return? We're insulted. We're told we're drug addicts. We're told we're flakes. We're told we're rapists and murderers and serial murderers. That's what we get. No respect. No one to say thank you, California, for showing the way. Thank you for being the land of milk and honey. Thank you for being the leader when it came to showing the world how to do stuff like take a picture, build a toilet, you name it.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't for California, then human civilization would never have progressed.
I'm not saying that. What I'm trying to say is that many of those innovations came from this state. So the federal government needs to make up that $10 billion shortfall with the tax dollars of the American citizen, with our thanks, with our apologies, but more with our saying, you know, it's about time. Well, I don't want to say that.
Yeah, about time. You know, you're going to get a lot of people just hate California more than they do.
Well, no, I am not.
Yes, you are, by saying it's about time. 877-876-PHIL, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. This segment sponsored by Ted's of Beverly Hills, a great steakhouse in Beverly Hills. And we're talking about California's $10 billion budget shortfall. How do we make it up? In the mind of Ted and others, a federal tax. That means you, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer, you make it up, because California has been for so long the leader, the trendsetter, the industrial leader, the agricultural leader, the commercial leader for a very, very long time. It is a symbol of this country, not unlike the Lincoln Memorial. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more here. Ted Bell wanting non-California residents to be taxed to fix the state's budget problem. What do you think about his idea? Would you ever allow a portion of your paycheck to fix California? 877-877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. And this quarter hour, we're going to talk about the 50 states and why America really needs to help California make up that budget shortfall. Let's talk about the other states in the United States.
Put our meat in your mouth. Ted Bell with us here. Now, you wanted to do what?
What I wanted to do is a little something different. I've got a list of the 50 states. And when you think of California, and what are we talking about this hour in the Phil Henry Show here with Ted Bell? What we're talking about really, Phil, is the fact that California, in all of the many ways that California does business, in the many ways that California enjoys itself, we represent the very finest, the very furthest, the very highest of achievement. If California is to survive, America really needs to help out.
And well, there's no real, I do see precedent, obviously. There's been a stimulus that's helped out business.
Abe Koch went to the federal government and asked money for New York, and they told him to drop dead and blow away. That was the worst. And I think America can make it up now. For a state like California to go begging, while the rest of these states talk about how solvent they are, well, of course you're solvent. You've got three people. You know, it doesn't make any sense. We've got more people than any other state in this country. And, you know, and we've given people more fun. The things we've done and the fact that we have to beg.
Well, California, there's nothing in the Constitution that says people are supposed to donate money to California.
What I'm saying is, no, there's nothing in the Constitution.
All right, so but you're talking about how California's got to beg. I mean, no, they don't. They can simply do business so they make up the $10 billion.
Oh, simply do business to make up the $10 billion. How do you do that, okay?
Well, one of the things that's going on that I absolutely agree with, they are not going to pay the California legislators until they come up with a balanced budget.
Exactly. They're going to, those people are going to go home starving to death. That is not a way to do business.
Yes, it is. You tell those people, that's why we elected you, balance that budget.
No, they can't. And if they can't, then what?
Then you don't pay them.
And then they don't get paid, and then their families don't eat, and now you've got dead bodies in a house in Sacramento. Do you want that?
What are you talking about?
Did you just say they're not going to pay the California legislators?
Yeah.
You've got dead, rotting bodies in Sacramento. That's what you want. That's what everybody in America...
What dead, rotting bodies?
The California legislators that...
Oh, come on, man. Some of these people get... Come on.
Oh, come on, man. You know, Phil, don't bite off more than you can... Well, I won't say. But...
You know, no, Ted, I'll tell you what. Don't you bite off more than you can chew. You're talking about the California legislators took a job... If they can't balance that budget, you can't go to the rest of the country and say, hey, we're so sorry, we can't balance our budget.
Did you say balance? What is that, balance?
Balance the budget. Can you help us with that so that, A, we balance our budget, and, B, our California legislators don't have to stop being paid? And to say that because they don't get paid, there'll be dead, rotting bodies.
Did you hear the... Apparently you don't stay close to the news. Did you hear about Casey Anthony? You know that.
Where are we going now?
I'm asking. I'm the sponsor this hour. Would you humor me, Phil? Did you hear about Casey Anthony?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Well, you know they could smell a dead body in the car. You know that?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to smell in Sacramento?
You're not going to have that kind of disaster on your hands if you don't pay the California state legislators their money. You're not going to have dead, rotting bodies.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Hilda. Hey. You, Quincy. You know, for all of the stuff that I...
You're not going to... Ted, don't be an ass, all right?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are listening right now, you're a witness. You're a witness. The man whose show I sponsor just called me an ass.
Don't be an ass coming up with asinine scenarios about what's going to happen to people if they don't get paid. You know, a lot of people don't get paid. Go on unemployment. How about that?
Unemployment doesn't pay for tap water. You know it and I know it. All I'm saying is let's have some respect for our legislators. It's a tough job. We need help from the country. We demand help from the country.
You demand tax dollars from the American people.
That's exact. You know what? You've got Hollywood Boulevard. Put it on the screen. Do it.
Excuse me?
I told you to do it. Now do it.
Do what?
You've got a video cast going, right?
Yeah.
And there's Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah.
Put it on the screen. I told you to put it on the screen.
No, I'm not taking orders from you just because you sponsor an hour. Now, you're going to have to ask me nice.
What?
Ask me nice. I want you to stand there in that gay white suit you're wearing tonight and ask me nice.
Will you please put Hollywood Boulevard on your screen?
There it is.
All right, there. You see that dead, dead city? You see how dead that is? That's Hollywood. That's Hollywood, California. That is where dreams are made. That's, you look at how dead that, oh, you got it on pause.
I do. As a matter of fact, excuse me, let me just, I apologize, I did have it on pause, and it should be back to normal now.
You made me look like an ass?
I didn't know.
Well, right in the middle of the screen, it said click to play. What up?
We'll be right back, 877-876-PHIL. And we also want to get your input on whether or not the United States, the taxpayers of the United States, should bail out California $10 billion budget shortfall. Ted Bell will be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
You made me look like an ass.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, come on down to
at Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, tonight on the Phil Henry Show, we're going to take a look at all 50 states and tell you what they have to offer as opposed to California. Let's see if we can get some money made.
Here at Ted's
in Beverly Hills.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right, we're going to run down that list, but Ted, you were saying to me that California, we were looking at a picture of Hollywood, and there's nobody there, so therefore what?
The economy is bad. California has driven tourism for just many, many years. Now, what do we look at when we see the streets of Hollywood? To quote that character in Malcolm X, dead, dead, dead. You is dead. Remember that when he said you is dead?
And yeah, I remember that. I don't know that it necessarily pertains here.
It's a quote from a movie, Phil. I'm not trying to make any comment racial.
I understand.
I'm simply saying that the United States, the American taxpayer, for all that they have sucked out of the state of California, like babies sucking out of a bottle. I mean, if you look at California and you look at the rest of the United States, the American taxpayers, we're all a bunch of babies sucking at the nipple of California. Just the rest of the states are one big fat, really fat baby, overweight baby, and California is a bottle of never-ending milk, and there is the baby laying on its back, the big, fat slob of a baby. That
What baby is a slob?
Well, no baby is a slob, unless that baby are the other 49 states, and that is one fat. Have you ever seen, I don't know if you've ever been online, but you can go and enter in fat baby in Google and hit images, and you see these children with the big, thick arms, and they've got a big bowl of slop. I don't know who feeds them, but
whatever it is you're talking about, you know, I think you made your point.
Well, the point is that California's the milk bottle.
Yeah, and the other 49 states are a big, fat slob of a baby sucking off of it.
Yes. God.
877-876-PHIL. We will roll down that list of states from Ted here in just a moment. Let's get to some phone calls here tonight. Travis, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Travis.
I'd just like to comment on the fact that I just don't think it's right that any other state should have to pay for one state's debt. You know, California is not the only state in debt, and let alone, you know, the people. Everybody's going through a hard time in the economy right now, and I just really don't think that would be right.
What's wrong, Ted?
I knew I'd get a call like this. With all due respect to the gentleman, I understand what you're saying, sir, but I've tried to make the point here over the last few minutes that California's not just any other state.
Right.
California
is not the leading state either. And you did make the comment a few minutes ago about you have the most people than any other state.
Well, yes, sir.
Okay, I mean, it's just, if you have the most people than any other state, then why can't the most people of any other state donate $2, $5, $10, whatever the case may be, and pull it out of, you know, your debt? And, you know,
what?
I don't know how
pull it out of my what?
May not pull out of the debt. Ain't we talking about debt here?
Yes, sir, I know, but if we're talking $10 billion, and what we were saying here, just like the stimulus, just like the monies that, you know, that go federally, we were hoping the people of the United States would some sort of a tax would, and then that way you pay for it. And I know what you're saying. You're saying it's not fair. I got you. But I'm countering by saying that California is sort of like the Lincoln Memorial.
Well, you know, may I jump in?
Yeah.
What's that?
Let me jump in here, gentlemen. To say that California is like the Lincoln Memorial, that's all of a sudden saying that it's not an equal partner in this union. I mean, it's not. Every state in the union is an equal partner.
Oh, by rear end. You know that we put more money. California puts more money in.
No. Hold on for a minute. Every American is paying taxes at the rate that he is federally charged. Every American pays taxes at the rate that that they pay taxes. So to say that California somehow is more entitled to federal relief when Washington has a $5.3 billion shortfall.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad you brought that up. Let me ask this gentleman, Travis. When you think of Washington State, Travis, what do you think of?
Cold and wet.
There you go. Cold and wet. You going to put $5 billion into that? Not me. No, thank you.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm not putting $5.3 billion into something that's like the inside of someone's you-know-what. That's what this gentleman just said.
The inside of someone's you-know-what?
Yes, cold and wet.
So what I would rather do...
All right, look, Travis, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL is the number here, 877-876-7445. You going to do this list of states?
Hold on. I wasn't even done talking, and you... Did you hang up on the caller?
I had to move on, yeah.
Well, the gentleman said cold and wet, and he was on... When he said that, I was about to... he was going to be my ally in attacking your stand, which is that Washington State is somehow equally entitled to tax dollars. He said cold and wet, and that reminded me of, like, the inside of someone's... Well, I can't say it.
Okay, and what?
Oh, boy. What's better? What's better? All right, what's better? I'm going to have to say this right. A masculine, muscular, you-know-what, or something wet and damp?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to David. Hi, David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell as we talk about the California budget shortfall and how the rest of the country is supposed to make up for that. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, guys?
Yes, sir. Good.
How are you?
I'm a truck driver out of Cincinnati. And
yes, sir.
I don't have a problem with paying my tax dollars. I make a really, really good living. And you know what? I understand California is in a deficit. But you know what? So
right.
are the other 50 states, you know?
Uh-huh.
And
That's
we need to worry. I don't have a problem with taking tax dollars to help other states. But it needs to be a state that's in a state of emergency. What about the people in Joplin? They lost, what, 150, 155 people? Joplin, Missouri.
That's a very good point.
That's
a very good point.
Well,
that's a tough call. What about
that's a tough call. But what have they given the rest of the country? And what I was going to do, David, well, you know, you can say that Mississippi's had a hard time. You can say that Missouri has. And they have. And they deserve help. But I'm talking about something more than emergency dollars. I'm talking about actual helping with the budget of the shortfall, because Missouri at the end of the day and Mississippi at the end of the day haven't really done for the country what California has had. Let's talk about it. California, here I come, right back where I started from. You know that song?
Okay, I understand that.
Okay, you know that song. Okay, now listen to this. Here we go. Alabama, and I actually had some music I wanted to play because I think it's, here we go. Alabama, all right? Now, when you talk about Alabama, Dave, what do you think of? You got it, rednecks. Alaska, what do you think of? Eskimos. Arizona, old people, meth addicts. Arkansas. You go all the way down the line. Then you come to California, what do you think of? Beautiful oceans, hot-looking women. Okay. Then we go to Colorado, pot. Connecticut, old people. Delaware, even older people. Florida, death. Georgia.
All right, we got the point.
Right.
We got the point.
I understand all of that. And
yes, sir. Okay.
Every state has its ups and downs. But you need, you know, the people in the United States, we do need to pull together, and we do need to help each other. But we need to take care of states that are in a state of emergency.
I agree with that.
Taxpayers can't pay enough taxes to support the deficit. Every state has a deficit. But we need to take care of the states that are in a state of emergency, not
when you think of
overspending.
Let's talk about this. When you think of the state of, let's talk about, okay, Washington. What do you think of when you think of Washington?
Oh, will you come on already?
No, I'm asking the guy. What do you think of when you think of Washington,
right,
sir?
Off the top of my head, it's a nice place to visit, and they do have good apples. I wouldn't want to live there. But
thank you. There you go. I wouldn't want to live there. That's all I needed to hear. I wouldn't want to live there. Why would I want to pay for it, right? Now, when we talk about California.
Ohio's my...
What's that?
That's my stomping ground,
okay,
is Ohio.
Now, I won't ask Dave. Phil, what do you think of when you think of Ohio?
Oh, come on, will you?
What do you think of when you think of Ohio?
I think of the Cincinnati Reds.
What?
Well, did you ask me a question?
The Cincinnati Reds?
Did you ask me a question or did you not?
Yes.
The Cincinnati Reds. Well, what do you think of?
Buckeyes.
What is a Buckeye?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, Dave. What is a Buckeye, Dave?
He doesn't know. You don't know what it is. You'll bet it's a nut.
All right, thanks very much for your call. 877, thank you, David, and safe travels. 877-876-7445. Here is Bill in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir. Thank you.
My thing is this. I'm living in California. We don't need any other state to bail us out. We need to fix our own problem. Fix the illegal immigration problem here in the state of California, and it will fix itself.
You can't go near that.
There's the guy just said, illegal immigration.
I told you, it's a political hot potato.
27% of our inmate population are illegal aliens at a cost of $52,000 per year per inmate, and that's provided if they don't get sick.
Our enemy population, what does he mean?
Inmate.
No, you got it all wrong.
No, I don't have it all wrong. I just spent 25 years in the prison system. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Were you a prisoner?
Pardon me?
Were you a prisoner?
No, I was not a prisoner.
Well, I mean,
maybe he worked for the...
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. You were a corrections officer, correct?
Yes, I was. Lieutenant.
Was he a prisoner?
I didn't know.
All right, and you saw a lot of, but of course, as a corrections officer, you don't really know who's legal or who's illegal, Bill, do you?
Yes, we do.
You do?
Yes.
Well, you can't go near it, Bill. It's a political hot potato. It's just, you don't want to go near that. If you go near that, it's like going near a bad smell. It's just going to be all over you. Don't go near that. Let's talk about how California deserves the money over a place like Vermont.
That's the problem we have. Our politicians are scared right now. Or let's not touch that. We may not get reelected. You know what? Get a politician up there that has something that they can contribute. Don't be scared. Don't be scared that you're going to make the other party scared or mad.
It's not fear. It's simply saying when a guy says illegal alien, the first thing you think of is don't go near it.
Well, we've got to start to go near these questions.
Don't go near it.
No, we got to start.
You can't go near it.
Several years ago when we passed Proposition 187, and all that...
No one knows what that is.
Anybody in the California that's here illegally is not entitled to benefits. That's the only thing that said. They turned it into a big...
Well, no one knows what that is.
That was the original referendum that beat Arizona, you know, but there were some constitutional issues with that. Anyway, thank you very much, Bill, for your call. World-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and...
Oh, so you disagree with the guy, constitutional issues, and then you get rid of his phone call. Anyway, thanks a lot.
I have to move on, okay?
Yeah, but you were disagreeing with him there.
Yeah, I was, but frankly, the disagreement came up at a time where we do have to move on.
All right, I wanted to finish up here, Phil, just very, very quickly for the people that did not hear what we were doing and what we're talking about here. Let me just have Bud Dickman, or what's his name, Dickman?
Dickman.
Start it again, and let's thank you. Here we go. The 50 states, the United States of America. Let's run down the 50 states. Alabama, what do you think of? Redneck. Alaska, what do you think of? Rednecks and Eskimos. Arizona, what do you think of? Rednecks and meth addicts.
All right, come on. We got to get going, all right?
I beg your pardon? Turn the music off. What did you say to me?
I said we got to get going. Sorry, but we do. I got to take a break.
Yeah, fine.
877, now I feel bad. 877-876-PHIL.
No, it's okay.
877-876-7445. We'll be back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
What a putt.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Tonight we're open until 1 a.m. We serve until, well, we stop serving. But we are open until 1 a.m. That's another 2.5 hours. So you can come in and drink.
Here at 10.
Which, of course, we would rather you not drink and drive, but I know how it is.
Now, what kind of a commercial is that?
Excuse me, I'm the sponsor. Oh, boy. I'm the sponsor.
I understand. I'm sorry.
Would you mind? All right, back it up, please. Play it again.
Wait. I'll tell him to play it again.
Well, I'm not going to have you say something like that.
Ted, you said, come on in and drink, which, of course, I don't want you to drink and drive, but I know how it is.
Oh, my God, and then you repeat it?
Play it again.
All right, Bud, go ahead. Play it again. He's deserving of another... Sorry.
Great way, Mr. Bill.
Thank you.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
I don't know what Bill Henry thought he was playing at, but no, you don't do that to me, Ted Bell. Come on in. We've stopped serving. We're serving booze till 1. Don't drink and drive.
Here at Ted's.
God.
I apologize.
Just don't, you don't have to second guess what I'm saying. All right. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, I'm Ted Bell. I'm sponsoring the final segment of this, and I'm going to try and get my money's worth out of this because for the last, I don't know what you'd call it, 52 minutes, Hendry and his listeners have tried to hold me down over the hood of a car outside of town.
Hold Whoa, man.
Well, you're telling me that you haven't?
We've given you a fair hearing.
All right, hit it, bud. This is Foxy, one of the very first gay disco bands.
Uh-huh.
I just thought I'd say that. And what we want to do is run through the 50 states, all 50 states, and why California's got it all over them. All right, where were we? Alabama, rednecks. Alaska, Eskimos and weed. Actually, Eskimos and alcoholics. Arizona, meth addicts and old people. Arkansas, the Clintons. Did you get that, Phil, the Clintons?
Yeah, that's great.
Colorado, dope, hippies, the Rocky Mountains, that's Connecticut, I don't know. Delaware, I don't know what happens in Delaware, but I know that some guy dumped a woman off the, some kind of a murder was committed there. Florida, lots of murders. Georgia, chain gangs. Hawaii, dope and rainbows. Idaho, potatoes and dope. Illinois, Lincoln. Big wow, I mean, Lincoln's a great guy. Indiana, the Hoosiers, Larry Bird, you get it. Iowa, hurricanes, tornadoes, a farm, another tornado, another farm, another tornado. Kansas, Dorothy, Kentucky, Colonels, fried chicken. Louisiana, or Louisiana, two words, Hurricane Katrina. Then we have Maryland, Baltimore, Massachusetts, Baltimore, Michigan, Detroit, Minnesota, not much, but Lakes and Ludifus, or Ludacris, Mississippi, chain gangs, Missouri, chain gangs, Montana, Colt chain gangs, Nebraska.
All right, I get the idea. God, I get the idea, man.
Well, you understand what I'm saying.
What I hear from you is just a very quick and smart-ass dismissal of all of the states. Michigan, Detroit.
You call that any bargain?
And what is lutefisk?
Now, what's that stuff they eat in Minnesota, the fish?
I don't know, fish.
No, that crap, that Norwegian crap they eat. Anyway, North Dakota, Ohio, Buckeyes. I asked the guy, what is it? He said it's a nut. And they said...
Standing, people are not going to devote tax dollars to just one state, Ted. It's not going to happen.
Okay, Father Hendry, thank you. Thank you for blowing off the hopes of a lot of people tonight. The state of California has meant an awful lot to a lot of people, Phil. And I wish at this particular point you had some music that was fitting, because I want to do a tribute. I want to do a tribute to a great state. A state that at one time might have been something. A state that at one time might have been... much more than something. It might have been anything. Much more than anything. It might have been the thing. What is this? The Atlantis theme?
What the hell you want from it?
God almighty. Anyway, California is a place that I think a lot of dreams come to and die here. But at least, anyway.
All right. Well, Ted, thank you very much. I think you did all that you could to destroy your idea.
I didn't destroy anything, my fine feathered friend.
Look, do we have time for this call? Let's see. Let's go over here to Richard. Go ahead, Richard. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I want to ask why, if California created the problem that they're in right now by electing officials that didn't care anything about spending money, if it was me and I couldn't pay my bill, would someone come balance my checkbook so that I could have money to pay my bills? I don't think
If you were cool enough. No, if you were cool enough. That's what we're saying.
If
you were cool
what?
Enough. Cool enough. If you were... If we liked you.
You said Connecticut was all people. I'm afraid to tell you that I am from Connecticut. I am a truck driver trying to make a living
That's a strike against you, then. I wouldn't want to pay for you, then. I'm sorry. I thought he said he was cool, but he's you're obviously not cool enough.
Phil Hendry.